Blog Talk Radio.
And the Creepiness Begins, season 2023 is upon us. This is Dr. John Stamey, live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, welcoming everybody to the brand new season of ScaryCast 2023. We've got, we've got a lot of great guests coming on, a lot of fun that we're going to have talking about the one thing that I like, the paranormal. So that's all cool. So it's great to be here. First of all, the Queen of ScaryCast, co-host Robin McCray. How are you doing? How was your New Year's?
Oh, it's good. Hi, everybody. Glad to be here. It's going to be exciting tonight.
It's always exciting when you and our other co-hosts are here. And the Surgeon General of ScaryCast, the one and only, the coolest doctor I know, Dr. Trey Donaway. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, John, doing fine. Much better than our last show.
Okay. Well, good. I don't remember. It's been too long, so don't remind us. We're just glad you're here and doing good. So anyway, thanks a lot for being here. And from Houston, Texas, Kyler Smith. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing awesome. Not much else to say other than that. Doing great.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to introduce our guests. And, of course, I try to do it with a story. I'm at the Grand Strand Comic-Con at the Myrtle Beach Civic Center Saturday and Sunday of Thanksgiving week. And I turn around, and there's this guy and his son there. The guy's on, turns out he's an author. His name is Craig Hipkins. And he's a ScaryCast alumni. He was on Tuesday night ScaryCast. He's got a book called Fireballs, and it's really cool. It's a couple hundred pages long. Printed in the USA, by the way, and I just saw that. And it talks about Craig and I started talking about Tunguska, which is kind of it's kind of weird, but that's okay because there's a lot out there. I mean, it was 20 years until anybody got to Tunguska to investigate. That's out in Russia. I mean, you know. So anyway, it was very interesting. He gave me a copy of it, and I traded in a couple of my books for his book Fireball, so it was great. So I started talking to his son, and he wouldn't shut up about horror films, and neither would I. So I finally said, "We just need to do a podcast. This is crazy because we won't have to prepare. We're going to do Dracula, Lizard, Wolfman, all those cool old things, and we can just have fun about every other week. We'll start it out. So I think we're due to have one this week. I don't know, maybe next week. We'll figure it out, but it's going to be fun. And I want to introduce my friend and horror movie expert. Now, he is a horror movie expert, and I don't call a lot of people that. Now, John LeMay is, and John LeMay will be on next week, by the way, with Trey Hudson. And we're going to be talking about the fabulous Meadow Project. And y'all's going to be excited when you hear about it. And by the way, Robin, I've got something very warm and wonderful to tell you about next week's guest so that you can be getting excited. I got the book, The Meadow Project, and it says, "Forward" by Angelia Shear.
Oh, how wonderful.
So and all of a sudden, as well as I know Trey Hudson, I knew exactly who he was. Now I've heard stories about him from Angelia. So it'll be great having a friend of a friend and a new friend on next week, along with who else we got, John LeMay and all that. So just a little preview of what's going on, because we really do have great guests on ScaryCast. So anyway, tonight, Robbie Hipkins. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on. And hi, everybody else.
We're glad to have you on. And so what happened was I decided to put John LeMay and Trey Hudson together because they had so many similarities about their research experiences. And so when I came up with an empty Monday night, I said, well, I just need to get Robbie on. And we're going to talk about paranormal horror. Now, the first movie that jumped into my head was The Sixth Sense, starring Bruce Willis and Haley Joel Osment. And I don't know if y'all know this or not. I'm going to tell the three films, then I'm going to turn it over to Robbie to start talking. But I did not know that The Sixth Sense was the second highest grossing film of 1999. Did y'all realize
that? I didn't know
that either. It was a fantastic movie.
On Wikipedia. And I mean, it's when I saw that movie the first time, I was stunned at how good it was. I mean, it's like Sex, Lies, and Videotape. You don't need to see it but once to really understand it. But it's a grand film. And Bruce Willis showed that he could truly act. Haley Joel Osment had an Academy Award nomination. In fact, there were six Academy Award nominations for The Sixth Sense. It was a grand film. Then we're going to talk about one of the most unusual incidences. This is a true incident that was made into a feature film. It was not made into a documentary. It was made into a film, so there was a lot of directorial license. And that film is one of the grand films of horror. It is The Conjuring, the story of the Heisen family up in Rhode Island. And so, and what got me on this was watching Ghost Brothers with my buddy Mike up over New Year's Eve. We were watching, we always watch paranormal television on Travel Channel. And when I saw that and saw the interview, and I'm going to tell everybody about the interview, it is nothing short of amazing. And we're going to close with my friend Danny Lutz and his family's tragic and unbelievable story of the Amityville Horror. Now, Robbie, I didn't tell you we were going to do that, but when I started talking about it with Robin, I said, you know, we all know enough about Amityville Horror that we can do it. And Robin's got an interesting take on a couple of these films. But anyway, I now want to turn it over to Robbie Hipkins, co-host of Old School Horror Films with me on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. And Robbie, tell us a little bit about, let's start out with Bruce Willis, Haley Joel Osment, and that grand film, The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, I The Sixth Sense, because, you know, it was like you said, I did not know that it was the second highest grossing film of 1999. Apparently the highest grossing film that year was Star Wars, which, of course, it was a lot better than Star Wars. You know, if you've seen the first Star Wars, that Star Wars movie was really bad. But, you know, certainly it's interesting as far as it's something, you know, you have Bruce Willis who, you know, up until that point, he really hadn't done a film quite like that. I mean, that was different for him. And so the audiences around the world got to see Bruce Willis do something that, you know, sort of like a test in like his acting, you know, because up until that point, you know, he was kind of like a Bronson type actor. You know what I mean? And then, of course, in the film, it also you get to see Haley Joel Osment, who gets an Academy Award nomination. And I did not know this. Well, I did know this, but I forgot. But it was actually one of Toni Collette's first big films as well. And she's, of course, if you're into a lot of horror films, she's in a lot of really, really good horror films. So, but yeah, I mean, this is – and it was, I believe – was this the first movie – do you know if this was the first movie of M. Night Shyamalan, or was it one of his first? I know it was one of his earliest ones.
It was one of his earliest ones. It seems like he had another film before this, which was kind of small.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how he got picked. I don't know how he got picked to do this. Oh, wait a second.
Yeah, because
M. Night Shyamalan, didn't he? Oh, my God, I don't want to say something really wrong, but didn't he direct one of the great horror classics of all time in the mid-90s? I mean,
he did,
I don't even want to say it because I don't want to be wrong.
Okay, so I did pull it up, and just to make sure, because I couldn't remember. But The Sixth Sense, it looks like, was his first, like, major film, like, of critical success, because before that he did a film called Praying with Anger, which was his very first one, and I've never seen that. Then he did one with Miramax in 1998, and that was Wide Awake, and that had Dennis Leary, and I think Rosie O'Donnell was in that too. But I've never seen either one of those. So
You got to stop. That is the funniest pairing: Dennis O'Leary and Rosie O'Donnell. I mean, that's like the damn Three Stooges.
Yeah, it is, honestly. But this was, it looks like this was his first one, and they did it with Buena Vista Pictures, which works with Disney a lot. So, you know, that was an interesting thing. And then, of course, after that, he did all of those films. He did after that Unbreakable, Signs, The Village, his big one, you know, in the early 2000s, which is around the time I was born, with all Buena Vista. So, yeah, I mean, he's had quite an interesting career. I mean, I saw a recent film that he did I believe last year, and it was called Old. And I was telling you about this on one of our calls one time. Do you remember that, John?
You know what? We've talked about so many. It's like I've got so much stuff going on. I can't really remember. I do vaguely remember you talked about it, but I don't
remember anything
about it.
I'll refresh you in case anybody in the audience hasn't seen it, but it came out last year, and the film stars this actor who I just think is one of the best actors in the entertainment industry going today, Vicky Creeps, and she was in Phantom Thread, which is a film that I mentioned on one of our previous podcasts. But in Old, it's basically about all these people who they end up on this island, and
they age within a day.
Yeah, they age out within a day and they die. So, like, somebody who shows up, like, let's say you show up at the island at, like, 8 o'clock in the morning and you're 10 years old. So by 8 o'clock that night, you're going to be 80 years old. So, yeah, so you age, like, really fast. And so, of course, you know, it was an interesting take. I mean, it was a very interesting movie. It's like one of those movies where, you know, you either sink or swim. And I actually thought it wasn't bad. I have a lot of film friends who – you know, we've debated about this, but I didn't think it was terrible. I mean, but he really, I would say that was probably like his best, like most recent film. And I mean, it's a close second or third to The Sixth Sense. He also did Split too. If you saw that one with James McAvoy.
No, I didn't. All right. Okay. So what we want to do is real quickly, there's a psychologist, one of his patients comes into his room and he's laying there in bed with his wife and he shoots him. And then all of a sudden it cuts to him talking to Cole Sear, who's played by Haley Joel Osment, about the fact his mother's upset that he says he sees dead people. And you know, when the little kid looks straight in the camera and says, "I see dead people," that's a terrifying statement. Dr. Trey Dunaway, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
It might be ridiculous, but have you ever had a patient, young or old, look at you straight in the eye and say anything with the gravitas of, "I see dead people"?
Well, I can't think of any patient. Now I can tell you a personal experience.
Okay.
I was having some dental work done. And they used some cadaver bone to build up a part of my jaw. And after they put the cadaver bone in my mouth, I could taste dead people.
Okay. That's interesting. But I was thinking about the fact that
I've never had a patient tell me they could see dead people.
I want to know. Like, yeah. Do they taste like popcorn, or what do they taste?
Well, caramel corn, actually. I really like caramel corn and like kettle corn. And it does have that a little crunchy, but that's not the taste. The taste was it was like vanilla-y. Yeah, it was good. It just because you're dead doesn't mean you taste bad.
Right. Well, now, Trey, I'm going to go to a point in a story that you once told me. I'm not going to tell the story, but I'm going to say that didn't a family tell you one time, well, doctor, I know you did the best you could because they put the root on him. Do you remember telling me that story?
Oh, yeah, and I've had patients that have been convinced that they were hexed, and that's why they were ill, and this one family in particular said that's why they knew the patient was going to die, is because somebody had put a hex on him at work. And, in fact, to the extent where they wouldn't even visit him in the ICU because they didn't want the root to rub off. So, yeah, that's very real.
Right. It is the beliefs down here in South Carolina, and I believe you said, and I won't go into it any more than this, I believe you said that you were doing an internship or something up in New England, and you met a lady working at the hospital that was familiar with that kind of stuff.
I was at the University of Virginia as an intern, and there was this woman who came in who appeared kind of crazy, and in my questioning of her, it came out that she had been hexed. And that's why she was having very strange symptomology. And I said I'd had some experience with that. And I used to do magic when I was in high school and college. So I knew some hocus-pocus spells. And I did one, and I lit three little fires with the assistance of a nurse with little alcohol wipes. There's a way to fix a slide with heat, and you take one of those little alcohol wipe packets and you split it open and you pull it up like a wick, and I lit all three of them, and I muttered some incantations over the flames, and I said that the spirit be gone, and you know, there you go. And I got a call from psychiatry because she was a regular at the psychiatry clinic.
Oh God.
And they congratulated me on making some real progress. I thought I was going to be in trouble because here I am, a surgical intern, just basically having fun. And they took it very seriously, and they thought I did a great job. So I didn't think about going into psychiatry after that, but I was happy that my psychiatric colleagues were pleased with my performance, as evidently the patient was too.
Well, Trey, I'm glad that we have that on an MP3. I think that is the most incredible story coming from one of the finest surgeons I have ever met, and I've met a number of them. And you are truly a man among men in medicine. And to have done that, you know what I think you did? I think you had had a hand in curing her. Am I correct?
Well, I'm always the last one in line to blame something on someone between their ears. That's a physical problem. But with this woman, she pretty much confirmed it, and I figured, well, maybe she'll take the suggestion that she's cured. Evidently, according to the psychiatrist, she felt like she was completely cured. A lot of that just comes from asking the right question. So, you know, if you get an inkling,
Trey,
that you ought to ask the question.
All right, everybody, I just want you to know that I'm going to take credit for hiring the true genius of medicine. Trey, I'm sorry I'm going on about this, but, gee, that's a great story. Okay, all right, so.
Well, I think it's a great story, but I don't think I'm the genius of medicine, but thank you, John.
Okay, well, that's all right. I'll have my opinion. In Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, people can have whatever opinions they want to have, and nobody particularly cares, so I'm just one of them, you know. But anyway, that's great. I'll always cherish and remember that story. Now, Robin McCray, tell us about the statement. I mean, because I think the writer of that movie, hit the nail on the head with one of the most, with one of the deepest statements I've ever heard. A little boy saying, "I see dead people." Could you please comment on that? Your comment would be immeasurable.
I think coming from a child, that's a very realistic statement. Like, I talk to spirits since I was a toddler. I mean, I get it. And when you see them, I mean, the first one I saw was standing in the middle of my living room. You know, what do you think? What do you say? And, you know, a child is not going to have the thought process to say, it's a ghost or it's a spirit, because how often do we talk to our you know, little tiny kids about ghosts? You don't, because you don't want them frightened. So what would they say? So to me, it's logical coming from a child that that's what they would say. I see dead people. I mean, it's very, you know, cut down, and it is exactly what it is. They're not going to, a child isn't going to think of saying, I see a spirit, you know, I see an apparition, or they don't have that thought process. They just tell it like it is, and he saw a dead person.
Yeah, that's what an Academy Award nominated performance will do for you. I mean, it was really grand. And Kyler, as we ask back around, and when I see dead people, what are your questions, comments, or thoughts about that?
I think this is one of the first horror movies as a kid that I ever watched, and it's still to this day one of my favorites, just because like those mind bending kind of mixed with horror, like you kind of have to puzzle it together. Those are the best movies. And like when he said that, and then also the point of like figuring out that what was the main guy's actor's name? What's his name again?
Bruce Willis.
Oh, Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis. Bruce Miller.
Yeah, when he figures out that he's dead, oh my God, that blew my mind.
It blew my mind too. That was honestly the greatest turn of events I've ever seen in a film. When all of a sudden, everything that you thought was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know what? And this is just me, because like we all know I'm weird, but I can see that the thing that I liked about it is I can see that happening in real life, because a lot of times if somebody dies from a sudden death, they truly don't understand that they're dead. A friend of mine's husband passed away. And it was, trust me, it was a shock to him, because I was watching TV sitting on my bed one night, and I looked at the end of my bed, and there he was standing, and he was in total shock. Like, he had no idea, no idea. And I've talked to several spirits when they first have passed, and they're like, okay, what just happened to me? Like, why am I here? So I thought it made it even more real than it already did. Like, everything from what Haley Joel Mosment said, I see dead people, to Bruce Willis not realizing he's dead, to me that solidifies more of it looking like it's something that's real. It's not just a movie somebody created. So I think it made it have some realism to it.
Well, Robin, let me ask you, when you talk to this apparition at the end of your bed, how did you break it to him?
Well, you know, it was really crazy, because he was at the end of my bed. He actually cussed, which was typical of him. He just said, "What the F am I doing here? What just happened?" And I knew exactly what had happened. And then the second he said that, my phone rang, and it was his wife. "I just wanted you to know he passed." And I said, "I know that." She said, "Well, how did you know?" And I said, "Because he's standing at the end of my bed, and he's looking at me, and he's like, 'What's going on?'" And I'm like, "It's okay. It's going to be okay, you know." You have to tell them. And I've talked to other people's spouses that have passed before, and they have no clue. Like, we just assume they know, because they go to this higher plane. But the shock, if it's, you know, definitely a surprise to a few of them, you have to just stay calm and just say, okay, listen, this is what happens, but it's going to be okay. You know, it's going to be okay. And just talk to them. I don't really feel like there's a right or wrong way to do it. How do you tell somebody, oh, by the way, you're not alive anymore, you're dead? You know, I can remember.
Do you tell them to go to the light? I mean, what do you say?
I have before. I mean, I've had, you know, different ones that have come to me, and I said, okay, you know, you need to find the light. Just find the light. And I've also had people that have gotten hold of me and said, you know, my ex-husband had, he died in an ambulance and they brought him back and he called me absolutely terrified. And he's like, okay, I know I've made fun of you your whole life, you know, about the whole Bigfoot stuff and the ghost stuff and everything. But he said, I'm in big trouble. And I said, what's the matter? He said, I saw nothing but darkness. All I saw was dark. He said, and I am terrified. You know, I think even before they moved, and I haven't died, so I don't know, but even before they would walk into that light, there would be a feeling of peace. There would be a feeling of lightness. You know, you're not going to see jet black like he did. The only thing I've ever done, like when I've had different ones that needed to cross, you just kind of guide them and you talk to them with empathy. You know, reassure them that it's going to be okay. You know, I think everybody has their own technique and their own way of doing things. But, yeah, the one that showed up tonight, he had no clue. And it was really odd because he had some serious, serious health issues. Like, his health was very, you know, tippy at best. But nobody, absolutely nobody thought he would have died that night. Nobody. And he was just like, he was in shock. He couldn't believe it. You know, once the shock wore off, he was okay. And I talked to him multiple times before I haven't, and I haven't heard from him now in a few years. But, you know, once he realized where he was calmer. But in the beginning, he was like, you know, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? And I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, this has happened to me before. Like, if you get in a car accident or something, or something traumatic, and it's, you go to open your eyes and you have that thought in your mind, am I dead or alive? I've had that happen to me multiple times. And it's almost like, you're okay, I'm opening my eyes, but am I dead or am I still alive? You know, if I've been in a car accident, or when I was showing horses, if I, you know, had something that went on with that, you do. You almost wonder, when you open your eyes, it's like, okay, am I still alive or am I dead now? So I can see where people, you know, that would be like that. Like, I can certainly see where Bruce Willis, where his head would be at for that. Like, I applaud the movie for making as real as they did.
Yeah, it was pretty scary, I'm going to tell you that. Robin, thank you very much, and thank you, panel, for those great stories and kind words. I mean, you know, we're talking about one of the giants of cinema. We're talking about Bruce Willis. We're talking about The Sixth Sense. We're talking about six Academy Award nominations, and it was just one phenomenal thing, and I'll never forget seeing it, and it was terrifying. There aren't many movies that are terrifying. When he sees that little girl in the kitchen, and, oh, my God, and she's all disfigured and everything. It's just awful. So, anyway, Robbie, first of all, thanks for bringing that. I want to go ahead and get on. And, by the way, I want to say thank you, Transamerica Life Insurance Corporation, for keeping us on the air. They keep giving me marketing money, and I keep saying Transamerica is really the best company I've ever worked for. It's the best life insurance company that I know. And if you need any help, give me a call. I'm Dr. John Stamey. My number is 843-655-8775. I'll show you a real Cadillac in the life insurance business, and that is none other than Transamerica. And I'll tell you what, you talk about a great company to work for, they really are. So thanks a lot to Transamerica and all the great people in the Myrtle Beach office. All right, now we want to move on to what I consider, and I'll just tell a quick story, and then I'm going to get out of here, and I'm going to let you all talk. But I'm up there with Mike watching some paranormal stuff, and we were watching Ghost Brothers. It's a paranormal show about these three black gentlemen that go into harrowing situations, and they investigate. And what I've got to say is the writers and the producers of that show do a wonderful job of bringing in, historically, people who were around when the incident that happened. You know, I mean, they bring in people. And so what happened in, get my little cheat sheet here, in Burlsville, Rhode Island, Corey and Jennifer Henson bought this house, Otter's Inn, which was nice. It was a nice country home. And they had a little bit of a problem when they walked in. Things were not right. The house was obviously possessed, and it was very odd, and I'm going to, and Robin, I'm going to turn to you when we get ready for this. But it was very odd that without calling them, Ed and Lorraine Warren, ghost hunters from, of all places, Asheville, North Carolina, who are very famous, they come walking in and say, we need to do a seance, and we've got a medium here. And they did a seance. The table rose. All kinds of stuff happened. And so ultimately, Corey got mad at everything that was going on because he felt things getting worse and worse in the house. And apparently he punched Ed Warren in the face and made the all three of them get out. Can't say if that was right or wrong. It was whatever it was. But I know Ed and Lorraine Warren have been around, and they have been responsible for some very good results and things like that. But anyway, that's what happened, and that is the first time that story was ever told. It was told by one of the Henson daughters on camera, and it was a phenomenal thing. I love it. I love it when I see producers and directors go the extra mile and really try to get the people that know what's going on. So anyway, Robbie, talk to us about that great film, The Conjuring.
Well, I actually just found this out, and because I was listening to all the interesting stuff about The Sixth Sense, I was scrolling through and I saw this about The Conjuring. Did you know it was filmed in Wilmington, North Carolina? I mean, that's really close. I had no clue that it was filmed that close. Which I believe isn't Wilmington near where we met, John?
Well, Wilmington is where I held the Cape Fear Comic Con. Yeah, I was going to tell you an interesting story. I was going to tell you an interesting story about Wilmington and The Conjuring, because we held the Cape Fear Comic Con at the Coastline Center, and right next to it is the Museum of the Weird, owned by a friend of mine. I can't remember his name right now. I haven't talked to him in a while, but they came to the Cape Fear Comic Con, and does anyone remember the scary doll Annabelle?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, he had there were three Annabelle dolls made for that film. Now, what was the film?
Annabelle, I believe, didn't make her first appearance until
Conjuring 2.
I don't think she was. Yeah, Conjuring 2, because I know at the beginning of Conjuring 1, it was they touched upon Amityville, or was that Conjuring 2? Because I know at the very beginning was Conjuring 2 when they touched upon Annabelle or Amityville. It was Conjuring 2. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense because the movie Annabelle came out in 2014, so it would have had to have come out before. Wait, hold on a minute, because they would have had to have shown her earlier on before they made a solo film on her. So I would say, Conjuring is when they talked about Annabelle first. Yeah, you're right.
Well, the interesting thing is they have one of the Annabelles there, and as those of us that know Papa Stroh, including including Robin knows that Papa Stroh has a doll named, what's her name, Robin?
I can't remember, but that thing is creepy. That is a very creepy doll.
And so what I did is I arranged for Papa Stroh and his doll to stand next. They will not allow pictures of Annabelle. So I got him in there with his doll. And there are pictures floating around the internet of him and Annabelle and his creepy doll. And you can thank me. That was during one of the Cape Fear Comic Con weekends. And I made sure that happened. That was one of the coolest things that I've done in a long time. So anyway, So we're talking about The Conjuring. And Robbie, tell us what's kind of important about The Conjuring. And then I want our panel to ask some questions and ask you some questions.
Yeah, no, John, I have a quick question before I do that. Was that Annabelle prop that you're talking about, was that used in all the films, or do you know exactly what particular film that one was used in?
No, I don't. I don't know the history. I did at one time because the history is there on the, in outside of the glass case that Annabelle's in. But, mm-hmm. it's pretty cool.
Yeah, because I was actually, because the real Annabelle doll is, in real life, is actually, looks, of course, very different than the one we see in the movies.
Very different.
I think it's actually
more of like a rag doll,
I think. Yeah, it's more of like a rag doll in real life than it is like a porcelain doll, which I find, you know, even creepier because, you know, it's like it looks even more innocent, I think, when it looks like a rag doll. It looks like something that, because that's, the real thing actually looks less threatening than the actual thing. But yeah, The Conjuring is, I would say, okay, I grew up watching these horror films. So The Conjuring franchise was probably one of the first horror, it was sort of like an introduction for me in the horror film. I remember seeing the first movie when I was probably about 9, which was probably too young to see it. But, you know, I have a dad who, you know, I went to go see Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter when I was 6. So, you know, gave me an imagination. But, you know, I think it's certainly, you know, James Wan, I feel like with his films, they're hit or miss. But with The Conjuring, he really created something that was special. I mean, he took Ed and Lorraine Warren, who were these real-life figures, and made them movie stars, really. I mean, when we think of Ed and Lorraine Warren today, we don't necessarily think of the actual people. I mean, at least people my age think of, like, Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga. You know, I think it was probably one of the best horror films that came out in the last 10 years. I like how I think another interesting aspect of it that I find is that at the end of each Conjuring film, and it's particularly in the first one, you know, they show you actually real photographs of the real events that the movies are based on, which I find even more haunting because, you know, you're getting ready to leave the theater and you're thinking to yourself, you know, oh, it's a horror film. And, you know, most people, oh, I can sleep at night. It was a movie, you know? But you don't realize at the end of the movie, they're showing you the real pictures. I mean, they're showing you, like, wait a minute, you know, this is based off of true events. So to me, leaving the theater with that knowledge and seeing those pictures, you know, and after, you know, witnessing this movie, I was pretty horrified as a 9-year-old. So, you know, I remember I couldn't sleep that night when we got home. But it was honestly, it's one of the best. I think it's one of the best horror movies that's come out in the last 10 years. And, you know, with me, I'm more into, you know, the psychological type horror films. And there's not many of those today. There's typically more slashers. But I think it's a really good film. And I think the sequels have been just as good film, which is also very rare with any horror genre, I think, or with any genre in general. So I'd be interested to see what they do with the fourth film.
Robbie, are you talking about The Nun, Conjuring 3?
The Conjuring is basically like, okay, so you have the three films. They have The Conjuring, The Conjuring 2, and The Conjuring, I believe it's The Devil Made Me Do It, or I think is what they call it. They don't call it The Conjuring 3. But what The Conjuring has done is they've created like a cinematic universe of films, kind of like the Marvel films. How the Marvel has the Marvel Cinematic Universe, this is like the Conjuring Cinematic Universe. So they have the three original films, but they also have like The Nun, they have Annabelle, the two Annabelle sequels after that. You know, pretty much just they've taken all the characters that have come from these original films and they've expanded and created like a cinematic universe of horror, which I think is pretty cool. And most of these films tend to be really good. I'm trying to remember. I think there was another one called The Curse of La Llorona. I can't remember how to say it. Conjuring franchise. But, I mean, they're constantly making new films. And I think a fourth film is actually in the works right now. Like, they confirmed that there is going to be a fourth Conjuring film, like, that's going to be added. But we just don't know exactly what the title of that's going to be, and we don't know exactly when it's going to come out either. But yeah, I just looked it up. So yeah, they've released the three Conjuring, the Annabelles, the Nun, and the Curse of La Llorona. So it's a smaller universe, obviously, than the Marvel films because it hasn't been around as long. But you know, it's it's building, and they're making. I mean, we have a sequel of The Nun coming out this year, and of course, like I said, The Conjuring 4. So, you know, I think it's definitely interesting how, you know, they were able to create, take all these stories and create this this sort of, I mean, this is like a horror lover's dream. So, you know, to me, I mean, I've grown up with these movies. So I, of course, have a sort of, I see these as like a sort of, you know, I'm very sentimental when watching them because I they were around when I was a kid. But yeah, I mean, definitely awesome, and it's done really well at the box office, and it's made stars out of some of the people that have been in them. So, but yeah, what did you say, John? Before I did I interrupt you?
No, I was going to say that there was always a joke that ran around about The Nun. I don't know if anyone's ever seen it, but someone said, you know what? If you see a dark and stormy day, and you see an old convent up on a hill, and you walk there to the front door, and they say the devil's in here, leave. You probably should.
I would say so, especially I grew up going to Catholic school, so I would agree with that, yeah. I would definitely agree
with
that.
Well, that's great. All right, well, Kyler, we're going to Kyler, then Dr. Trey, and then Robin. Kyler, do you have a comment or statement about The Conjuring?
Well, I remember watching the first one, and I think I may have watched the second one. I don't know if I finished it or not. Because, you know, growing up, I watched these movies, too. They were good. It's just that I was, like, I was completely against them. But, you know, we were in high school, and, of course, you know,
if all the girls
wanted to go watch a scary movie, who's going to say no to that? So, we went to go see these. Oh, and I thought the Insidious series was also really, really good, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have seen those.
Great. Yeah, those are also
scared
Patrick Wilson, too.
Yeah, those scared the crap out of me. I don't know if I could still watch them today, honestly. But, yeah, they were amazing growing up watching.
Yeah, they're honestly really just – I think Conjuring Universe kind of like to anybody my age that has sort of like an inquisitive mind, like an introduction to all this stuff, you know, like the paranormal and just to like paranormal – like. Paranormal films in general. Like if you watch The Conjuring and you're like really fascinated by what you saw in that movie, there's a good chance that you're going to go to Google and look up and find all the other movies and read about all the different events like Amityville and Annabelle and realize, you know, these are real things. I mean, I think
that's
cool, you know.
That's what gets you too. It's not the ones that people just randomly make up. It's the ones that have an actual backstory, like they came from somewhere. Those are the ones that just completely keep you on your toes and you've got goosebumps the whole time. Yeah, it's crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know about you, but do you remember, I think this might have been in the second one, but The Crooked Man. I remember that scared the living daylights out of me when The Crooked Man came out of the tent that the little kid had in the hallway. And that was when they were in England, when Ed and Lorraine Warren went to London. But, you know, I mean, that I remember, I think I came out 2016. Okay, yeah, so I was like 12. But that really, I mean, it's spooky, you know, and of course Hollywood makes it even spookier. Yeah, they're good introduction films. And I actually read here that they're making a solo film on The Crooked Man. So that'll be interesting how that turns out.
Jeez.
But, yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I mean... Like I said, it could be a hit or miss, but I think let me see if James Wan's behind it. Okay, he's behind the story, but it doesn't seem like he's directing it. But I mean, yeah, if somebody good gets behind it, I'm sure it'll be pretty good. Because I mean, that would be if I were a film director now, I already have like that would be the perfect topic for a horror film. I think, because, you know, like the innocence of that, like, merry-go-round, like, toy that he had, you know, like with the crooked man. And yeah, I mean, it would be a perfect horror movie. And I would almost kind of keep it, the less you see of the crooked man, the better. When you do see the crooked man,
right, exactly.
It makes it even more horrifying. So I mean, that was another thing I liked that I thought was really good about it as well, is that, you know, it was in the film The Conjuring 2, you really don't see the Crooked Man a whole lot until he does come out, and that's, you know,
right.
And when he does, it does, yeah. So
you're not scared
then,
of
like
the
that.
Actual. You're not scared of the actual Crooked Man. You're more scared of the anticipation of seeing him. It's crazy.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, there's something about that, and like I was talking about the little toy that he had, where you saw the Crooked Man walking. It was like what are those things called? They're like, it's like it plays music, a music box. And there's something about the innocence of that I think the more innocent it is, the more horrifying it is.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? To me, that's just
you take any little toy or anything that you would never think twice about putting into a horror movie, and I guarantee you, yeah, like you just said, it would be perfect.
Yeah, I kind of take this with my own real life. I have this when I was like 4 years old. My parents, I don't share this with a whole lot of people, so this is going to be out there, I guess. But my parents gave me this stuffed rabbit for Easter when I was like 4 years old, and I always tell people I still have this stuffed rabbit. It's like part of my identity, like part of like my childhood, and I call it Bunny. And it's a unique name, right? But But, you know, you're 4 or 5, you know, what are you going to come up with? It's a bunny.
Right.
But I just see this, you know, this, but I always tell people, I say, you know, one day, okay, I'm going to die, okay, and I'm going to embody this stuffed rabbit. I'm going to scare some people. I'm going to haunt some people because, you know, you just see, like, this little innocent, like, stuffed rabbit. It's, like, really small. And it's just, it doesn't look threatening, but, you know, I mean, you know, even if I'm not like a bad soul or anything, I want to scare people. That'd be fun, I think. You know, I wouldn't do anything like terrible, like Annabelle or anything, but, you know, just, you know, maybe like open the door and, you know, just do some things and show up on the sofa when I was really on the chair, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. That would definitely work.
Yeah, I know, right? But just a matter of keeping the bunny around. Hopefully somebody doesn't throw it away. But anyway,
right. That's the other thing.
Yeah, I know. You'd have to fear this. Probably a better chance I'll be in a dumpster somewhere. So I might not be scaring anybody. But yes, so The Conjuring. So what was your favorite of these films? Like you said, you saw the first one. You said, did you finish? You said you're not sure if you finished the second one.
I don't think. No, I don't think I finished the second one. There's definitely some missing parts. It could just be my memory not remembering. But out of that time era of those movies, I want to say I don't know if I can pick a favorite because we all watched them around that time. Mm-hmm. They were all pretty good. And that's kind of like what changed. Sixth Sense will always be my first favorite horror movie. I don't know if anything can beat that one time first movie that you see. Mm-hmm. But yeah, these were all great. There was another one that I saw. I'm not sure who the director was or who made it, but I think it was just one of those ones that we watched just searching through Netflix horror movies. It was a kind of a creative one. It was like a doll, this lady that would make dolls, and she actually made people into dolls. Like their corpses, and you
know
they voiced them. It was absolutely insane.
I know which film you're talking about. I cannot. I saw it such a long time ago, and I remember. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that was insane. That was absolutely insane. You said it was on Netflix.
I believe so. Could be wrong because it was a while ago, but I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, like, I'm right here in front of my computer. It's like film about doll people. Let me see what comes up.
It was more of like, I guess doll isn't the right terminology. I'd say probably like puppets. I guess what would you call those?
I mean, even
I don't
some
know.
Of the puppets, some of these innocent children's movies. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I saw this one movie recently, just a couple nights ago. I just gotten through reading for the first time. I never, of course, I'm probably going a little off topic here, but I just got read Alice in Wonderland the first time by Lewis Carroll, and I was like, how did I not read this as a kid? Like, I saw all the movies with Johnny Depp and the Disney movie and everything. I was like, how did I not read this as a kid? But I read it for the first time, and so I was interested. You know, it's a very, very good book. And so I'm one of these people that if I read a book and I like the book, then I want to know more about the author. So I go online, and I read about the author, and I try to become like an historian on the author. And I was reading a lot about Lewis Carroll, who is a really interesting character, a very controversial character, but a very interesting character. But there was this movie that came out about his life. It was more about the girl who Alice was based off of, who Carroll based Alice off of, and it was called Dream Child, and it came out in 1985. And I don't know if anybody's ever seen it, but the puppets in that film, okay, I mean, it's not meant to be a horror film. At least I didn't think it was meant to be a horror film. I don't know. They're pretty creepy. Just you look up like Alice in Wonderland puppets in Dream Child, 1985, and you'll kind of get what I mean. They're terrifying. Like the one of the rabbit and the Mad Hatter. I just think whoever the puppet artist was just went out of their way to freak people out because it really was. I mean that story really is kind of creepy if you think about it. You know, I mean it's innocent, and Disney certainly made it innocent, but it's, like I said, the more innocent, the creepier it is, you know?
Exactly.
So that's what I agree with that. So yes. So do you have any other like questions or like anything about The Conjuring? Like I can't say I'm the greatest historian when it comes to The Conjuring, but I do know a little bit.
Well, The Conjuring, let me see what I remember. So the second one, you're talking about the Crooked Man, right? He was in the second one.
Yeah. I believe he was, and that was mainly based out of England. I believe it was in London they went to.
Okay, and then the third one was based off the Nun. Is that right?
Yeah, the third one was no. I think the Nun made an appearance in the second one. The third one was interesting. That one just came out, like, I think last year. Or no, maybe now it's 2 years. No, 2021, yeah. It was, like, I guess kind of last year. But that was interesting. That was more into, like, the third one was more into, like, the occult. And it was very interesting how, you know, like, he was dealing with, like, witchcraft and that type of stuff. Which, you know, we had seen in, like, the first two films a little bit of that. But, like, the third one really expanded on that, like, a lot. I mean, they were, and I thought, I mean, the third one was, it was good, but I thought the first two were much better than the third one. I just thought the third one got way too much Hollywood. You know what I mean?
Kind of like they were just, was it almost like they were just kind of doing it for some more money, or they were just getting lazy?
I thought the creativity was kind of, I mean, I guess because I believe James Wan was attached to the first two. I don't know if he was attached to the third one. And I think that might have a lot to do with it when you have one director who's sort of is the head of the first two films, and the first two films are just really good. And then, of course, they change the direction, and there's a new director, and he comes in there and thinks, oh, well, I don't want to be like James Wan. I want to do my own thing, and it's, I mean, not to say the third one was bad. Like, I didn't think it was bad. It was just, you know, the first two films came out relatively close to each other in the early, like, mid-teens. And then the third one took, like, 5 or 6 years to make. I mean, I wasn't sure they weren't going to make a third one because they were making all the other stuff. And I don't know. It didn't have the same feeling as the first two films. At least I think it didn't. You know, some people might disagree with me on that, obviously. But you know, they're making a fourth one. I don't know. I always tend to think, you know, the more they make, if they're not keeping with the consistency and they're just making them for the you know, the money that they can make out of it, you know, well, I mean, of course, that's why they made the first two. But if they're really just purely doing it just to make it for that, then it kind of loses that touch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it just it becomes, I don't know, it becomes kind of tedious, too. It's like, okay, you could be making something so much better, you know? But, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So then I want to ask you one last question, is what was your, is Conjuring actually one of your favorite horror movies?
Actually, believe it or not, it's, okay, it is in my, like, top, if I were just to play horror, top, it would definitely make it into my top five, those two films. But I would say my favorite horror movie is probably The Shining. And anybody, and that's, and John knows, if John's still on here, right? John knows all about my, John knows all about my Stanley Kubrick obsession. And The Shining, to me, is, I think, probably the most horrifying film, other than, like we said, The Sixth Sense and some elements of The Conjuring, a few other movies I can name. Or like Psycho, that's another one. That's probably tied with the with The Shining. Like, it's like right below it. So yeah, those are actually my favorite ones. But I would say the Conjuring films, they're right up there. I mean, I feel like those films are more sentimental to me. They were around when I was really little, whereas like, you know, The Shining and Psycho came out before I was born. I watched those from like a second, you know, kind of like on TV and whatnot. I didn't actually go to the theater to see them. Yeah.
Right.
That would be cool, though, to see one of those films, like, in a re-release in, like, the movie theater. They do that every now and then for, like, classic films. Like, they'll re-release them and put them on the big screen. And so that would be actually cool to see, like, one of those films get re-released, like Psycho or The Shining.
Yes, it definitely would. Kyler, I think he had a question for you.
Sorry, go ahead. I might have broke up. Sometimes this terrible connection out here. What's your favorite horror film?
I may have said it earlier. Maybe I just said it in my head. But my favorite is from my childhood. It's definitely Sixth Sense.
Okay, yeah, you did say that. That's right. I'm sorry. That's right. You did say that earlier. Earlier on, I think when we were having the original conversation about The Sixth Sense. Yeah, that'd be
right.
I'd be interested in
this. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry, I keep cutting you off.
No, you're fine.
I figured out what that movie I was talking about earlier with the puppets, and I think it was called Dead Silence. Does that ring a bell?
That does. I haven't seen it in such a long time. In fact, now that you're talking about it, I'm gonna have to like watch it again, because I didn't think it was bad, you know, especially for a Netflix. Wasn't it like a Netflix original?
I think so. Yeah, one of those just randomly popped up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was never anything that made like the theater. It was like a Netflix original. And of course, nowadays, I mean, Netflix originals are like competing for Oscars, so. You know, I don't know. That was probably a pretty ignorant thing to say, but you know, the older Netflix originals, when Netflix was like a nothing, you know, that was they were for something to be good that came out of a Netflix original was pretty good. But like nowadays, they have, I mean, they're pretty much they're attracting the best of Hollywood to come and you know do their films. So you know, it's a little different now. The whole landscape's changed. Yep.
All right.
Yeah, so I think there's two other people on this too, right?
Right, yeah, and I was going to say, Dr. Trey Dunaway, you got a question or comment about The Conjuring? Uh-oh. I hope he didn't fall off. If he did, I'll bring him back.
Did we lose him?
Did we lose him? Did I talk to him?
Well, we might have, and I better.
There's a good chance. I mean, why would I do that, you know?
He dropped off, and so I'm going to bring Dr. Trey Dunaway back on. Are you back with us?
I'm here, John. It cut out a while ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't watching the control panel. So anyway, do you have a question to come to that?
I didn't know I was off. No, what I was going to say is that I never saw The Conjuring.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
When did it come out? 2006?
It came out like the first one was 2013, and then the second one was 2016, and then the most recent one came out in 2021. And like I said, there's a whole franchise.
I never saw The Conjuring.
Yeah, they definitely. I mean, I would recommend them if you're big fans of. I mean, I don't know how you feel about Ed and Lorraine Warren. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but you know, if you're big fans of them or just fans paranormal in general, you know, I mean, I think they'd be good films to watch.
Now, I did yeah. like Sixth Sense, and I liked some of the other ones that I liked. Carrie, The End of Carrie. One fraternity brother saw Carrie, and he brought everybody he could just to watch us at the end of the movie, that one big scary scene at the end of the movie. All he did was turn around and look at his entire fraternity that week there and laugh at us when everyone freaked out.
Is that the one with
The Exorcist. No, the Carrie had Sissy Spacek in it.
Sissy Spacek, yeah. Wasn't John Travolta in that too? Or am I thinking of another?
I don't think it was John Travolta. I don't remember, but I don't remember the guy, but I do remember the girl.
And you remembered, and you brought up The Exorcist. That's a good film. That's a really, really good film.
I saw The Exorcist, and I thought that was great. And being Catholic too, that that just kind of added to the whole thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, mentioned earlier, I grew up all my 12 years at Catholic school. So I mean,
yep.
Oh yeah, I had a professor once who told me he was in my junior year of high school, and he had a whole like section where we pretty much talked about exorcisms, which is kind of you know, interesting to a bunch of 16-year-olds. But you know, and he told me, and we had, of course, one of the first questions that were asked was, you know, what do you think of the movie, you know, William Friedkin's The Exorcist? Like, what do you think of that? And he said that it was good, but it wasn't authentic. I mean, he wrote a whole book and stuff. I mean, I don't know. I'm not an expert on exorcisms. That's just what he said. He said it was good. It was good for like what it was trying to do, but it was like not the most authentic representation of what actually goes on in exorcism and whatnot, which I, you know, said I'm just saying what he, you know, quoting what he said, you know.
Well, Hollywood is not known for their technical accuracy, but they are known for putting seats in theaters. So, you watch Mel Gibson in The Patriot, and
I mean, there's nothing technically accurate.
You know, it's a Hollywood production, so you're going to get a Hollywood version of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to expect that going into a film. The sad part is about all that is that, you know, I mean, most people I think know that, but there's also that great many that, like, I'll be in a conversation with, and they'll say something to me. We'll be talking about some historical event, and I'll be saying, no, that didn't happen. They say, oh, but in that movie, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, the movie, you know? So, you know, there is that danger. But at the same time, I think most people know going into a film, especially with the inventions of Google and whatnot, we can look up and sort of fact check everything nowadays. So, you know, it's definitely. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they're definitely known for putting people in seats. And The Exorcist is one of those films where I thought was just, you know, John, we could have a whole old fashioned horror movies conversation just on The Exorcist.
We could, and all I got to say is, you know what? For all those weepy old dramas that Richard Burton was in the 60s and early 70s, he actually got a pretty spectacular role in The Exorcist. I really enjoyed it.
Richard Burton was a good actor. Was he in The Exorcist? I thought it was,
yes.
What's his name? The Swedish actor.
Everybody was in Max von Sydow. Yeah, everybody was in The Exorcist.
Max von. He was in The Seventh Seal. Yeah, he was in that too. I didn't know Richard Burton was.
Richard Burton got nominated for an Academy Award as Best Actor. Believe it or not, that was the last time he got nominated for an award he never won.
I know, he never won an Oscar. He was like a Peter O'Toole. He never won one.
Yeah, I mean, one of the best in the business. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, The Exorcist is good. We can certainly talk about that. And maybe we'll invite Dr. Trey Dunaway to come back and talk to us. Because I tell you what, I met Linda Blair at Fanboy Comic-Con in Knoxville. And she was just sweet and nice as she could be. And I looked at her and I said, you made a lot of money off that movie. She said, yes, I have. And she just smiled. Because she does lots of appearances. I mean, it's kind of like meeting Lisa Loring. Nobody much knows who Lisa Loring is, but she was the original Wednesday Addams. And I even asked her the same question. I said, you make a lot of money off Wednesday. And she said, yes, I do. They both said it the same way. It was great. Right before I crashed into Eve Plum and she knocked me down from Brady Bunch. It was great. But anyway, no, that's a great discussion there. It really is. And Robin, I talked to you a little earlier about the Warrens. Some people say they're frauds. Some people say they were truly the best in the business. What is your opinion of Ed and Lorraine Warren?
I think they were legit, but I think what happens with a lot of people that get heavy into this ghost hunting or whatever term you want to use for it, I think it's okay that everybody likes the thrillers. I have nothing wrong with that, you know. But when you get into these people that go out and they deal with the ghosts and all of these things, this is serious. I mean, I hate to be the party pooper because I always am, but this stuff can turn in a heartbeat. I had a very dear friend of mine that's dead because he insisted on going to a ghost hunting thing, and the ghost actually killed him. You know, my daughter, when she was 4 years old, was attacked by a spirit that tried to take possession of her. And so for me, you know, when it's just the movies and it's only a movie, that's great. It's great entertainment. A lot of people love it. My daughter loves it. My gosh, she's so obsessed with The Conjuring, it's not even funny. I've not seen it. But at the same time, when it came to these two people, you know, they're going out and they're active in all of these things, and it's great if you can help people, but at the same time, you're talking about spirits that their world isn't our world anymore. What goes on over there is different than what goes over on this side. So then they're going to go in and they're going to try to do all these things, you know, and like you're talking about in the beginning of the movie, the one guy punched the man out because they ended up bringing in stuff instead of getting rid of it. They probably went into it with a good heart. They thought they were going to remove it.
Right. It was Corey Heinzen up in Burleville, Rhode Island at the House of the Conjuring. He punched Ed Warren out and said, get out of here.
Yeah, because I believe that they were in there with a good heart thinking they were helping these people. But just because we go to help them and we think that we're helping them, that's because that's how it works on our side, not theirs. And you open a whole new thing. It's the same thing like with the Ouija boards. Like, my mom has always talked to ghosts. I've always talked to ghosts. You know, they try to talk to my daughter, and she wants nothing to do with it. But my mom, when she was a kid, did the Ouija board. She figured that out real quick, that you don't play that game. And she quit doing it. I myself have never done it because I have enough stuff following me around. I don't need that on top of it. I've helped people before that had, you know, demonic things attached to them or problems with spirits. I have, and John can attest to this, I have two ghosts that live in my house. You know, I mean, I've always actively had them around me, and I've talked to a multitude of people who have lost a loved one, and I've, you know, helped some cross. I've talked to their loved ones for them. But this is a feel. You have to be really careful. And I think sometimes people get so into doing it that they forget how serious this can be. And I think that's what happened with the Warrens in that case. I don't think that they were trying to bring anything in. But when you open that doorway, when you try to connect, a doorway goes both ways. So you may be trying to close something or open it, thinking you're doing good, but stuff comes in anyway. You know, and I really feel like that's probably what happened in that case. What I know of them and what I've seen, you know, as far as what I've read about them or seen on different programs or whatever, I think they were legitimate. I honestly do believe they were legitimate. But I think that it's a topic and a subject where it's very easily for things to turn dark. And I think that while they thought they were doing good, it went bad.
Well,
I mean, we don't know either if when they were working on this, did something take possession of them and in that way manipulate them to let these things in? Because that happens a lot more than people think.
Yeah, well, what I'll do is, since I am friends with Joshua Warren on Facebook, and we actually have some mutual real-life friends, I'll see if I can get Joshua Warren to come on ScaryCast. I think he could help answer a lot of questions about his parents, don't you?
I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah.
We'll see if we can do it. And, I mean, I just think it'd be massive to have him. I mean, he's really interesting. So anyway,
I just don't think what happened was intentional.
That's a good point. I mean, because you look at Warrens as frauds, or you can look at them as victims of unintentional happenings at a seance. So anyway, I think that was a well-founded opinion and a really good one. So I think we learned something. Well, everybody, we've had kind of had fun tonight. Now I've had a blast because I love talking about these old horror films, and there's a whole world out there of old school horror. And on Thursday nights, Robbie and I are going to be uncovering all this fun stuff. So everybody, please join us.
Have you guys watched The Watcher yet? It's based on a true story.
That's on Netflix, right? Isn't what's her face in that? The woman from she's a good actress. What's her name? Naomi something.
Rather. No, is it Kate Blanchett? I can't remember.
I can't remember one of those actresses from the early O's. I can't remember her. I can't remember her name, but I know the show you're talking about. It's a miniseries, right?
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. It blew my mind. It really did.
Yeah, I saw that on there. I definitely have to watch it. I think I even added it to my playlist to to go back to it so I won't forget about it. But yeah, I definitely still need to watch that.
All right, well, do that, and we'll talk about it on old school horror films. So anyway, I want to say thank you to everybody for being here. Thanks to Dr. Craig Dunaway, our Surgeon General, to Kyler Smith, our buddy from Houston, Texas, and, of course, the queen of ScaryCast, Robin McCray. We've had a lot of fun talking about paranormal horror. We'll probably talk about it again sometime. It's kind of a cool subject. So I want to say thanks to everybody, and thanks to Robbie Hipkins. And tell your dad that we'd like to have him on this ScaryCast sometime soon. So we appreciate you being here, another illuminatory member of that writing family coming here with us and being with us. So, look, thanks a lot. And we'll see everybody next week. We'll have Trey Hudson and John LeMay. And we have just got a lot of great guests on the one, the only ScaryCast. So this is us signing off from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We'll see everybody next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, which is 9 p.m. Eastern. And thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.